So, a lot of things that happened in 1967 felt more biblical. Good morning, more prophetic in a way that 1948 didn't. 1948 was very inconclusive. 1948, we received a hollowed out country without Yerushalayim, without the Shtachim. So what are some of the events that happened in 67? The Rav Unterman, who was the chief rabbi in 1967, even though his psak, and again, don't get all wrapped up with these piskei halachas, like if you say halal, you're a Zionist. If you don't, it's halal is a halacha question. You could be the biggest oy of Yisrael and of Am Yisrael and not say halal. You could be so. But he felt that even though you should say halal Yom Ha'atzmaut without a bracha, and Yom Yerushalayim, you should recite a bracha. You should recite a bracha. What made 67 so different? So part of it was that in 1948, we returned to Eretz Yisrael through international guidance and approval. It was a UN resolution in 1947, Chavtep in November 29th. And from the world standpoint, it soothed its guilty conscience because it was right after the Holocaust and people were wrestling with how they could allow this to happen. It solved a very thorny issue of Jewish refugees. You've all seen the black and white footage of Jews arriving in ships and being turned away. So the world stood by our side. And in some ways, it was only proper. At the end of this gullus that had been so vicious and we'd faced such discrimination, I won't say it's tshuva, but it was proper that they should help us return home. 67 was very different. In 67, General Nasser, who many of you, of course, probably never heard of, he was the head of the Egyptian army, the Egyptian ruler. He consolidated all the Arab forces. He closed the Straits of Tehran, which is the passageway in the sea, and he threatened to hurl the Jews into the sea. People feared a third Holocaust. When we hear those stories, it's very funny. Hurl the Jews into the sea, cartoons. But this is 20 years after the Holocaust. People are fearing a second Shoah. Men and women and children were being sent to America, to Australia, to England, just to get out of harm's way. They were digging mass graves in parks, expecting tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of casualties. No one was thinking of capturing land. They were thinking about just surviving. Now, what people don't understand is, at that point, America was yet to arm Israel. They didn't provide all the weaponry and the American technology that we've received began after the Six-Day War. We literally stood alone. No allies, no support. No one was standing alongside the Jewish people in its time of crisis. We were literally standing alone. And in many ways, we returned back to our heritage, because that's what Jews do. And not just in a general sense, but in particular, when we come to Yerushalayim, we walk alone. Avraham HaIvri is called Avraham HaIvri because he stood alone. He stood on one side of the river, and he opposed, again, it doesn't make a difference which side of the river you're on, it's not like a river cruise, but he stood on one side of the proverbial river and defied an entire world that was lost in idolatry, an entire world that was lost in paganism. Now, when Avraham walks through Eretz Yisrael, in Parshas Lech Lecha and Vayera, he's really not alone. He meets friends, kings, angels, noblemen, supporters, foes, negotiators, a lot of people in Avram's life in Lech Lecha and Vayera. And the reason they're there is that when he's trying to establish a toehold in Eretz Yisrael, it's slowly but surely becoming a regional consensus that he should be there. Yet when he walks to Yerushalayim, that final scene, the Akedah, he walks alone. And he walks alone, and he's very careful to instruct his staff, Shvilechem po mechamor. You stay behind, because when the Jews walk into Yerushalayim, that's very different than when the Jews walk in Israel. When the Jews walk in Israel, he has a lot of entourages, and a lot of people, a lot of miknev etzon, and a lot of... But when we walk to Yerushalayim, we walk alone. And that's part of the Six-Day War that felt very biblical, that felt very much like Avraham Avinu. We were once again standing alone, in this case not religiously. No one was supporting us. And because we were standing alone, we walked to Yerushalayim for the first time in 2,000 years. So that's one of the feelings of 1967, which was very different from 1948. The second feeling, since we're talking about Avraham Avinu, is when he walks alone to the Akedah, the only way he could walk up the mountain is with Mesiras Nefesh. The Akedah, he has to leave everything behind, his son, his morality, his conscience. Why is that? Because when you walk up to the mountain of Hashem, you're walking into some other realm. You can't understand Hashem. You can't grasp Hashem. You just walk up. That's why a lot of people today, people oftentimes ask me when I travel, what do I feel about Har HaBayis? So my answer is, I think both shittos are, as we say in Yiddish, eis gehalten, both shittos are accepted. My own inclination is to be a little bit more machmir because of the chashash kareis. But if you ask me, probably we know the mapping. You don't have to worry as long as you follow the protocols and go to the mikvah. But to me, the real issue is that an experience that people used to engage in, be'ema, be'yira, be'reses, or be'zeya, to walk up into the Har HaBayis of the Makom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you shook like a leaf, and your knees trembled, and you're standing in front of the Makom HaMikdash, it today, the risk exists. I'm not saying that people can't avoid the risk of turning it into social media, and a Facebook opportunity, and selfie, and tourist groups, and let's go to Har HaBayis. I'm not saying each person has to make their choice. On the one hand, to be able to walk to the Har HaBayis after 3,000 years of big schluss, but just make sure you realize you're standing in the Makom Hashem. So when you walk up the mountain to try to reach Hashem, you can't walk as a human being with human morality, human conscience, because you can't understand Hashem. So the fact that Avram, this is his only visit to the mountain. He had visited in Lech Lecha, but it wasn't yet Yerushalayim. It was Malki Tzedek, Melech Kohen. It's a very different experience. This is, for all intents and purposes, the only visit to Yerushalayim. His only visit to Yerushalayim is he has to show Mesiras Nefesh. He has to show dedication and the willingness basically to die. He's not going to die. His son's going to die, but his life is going to die. His life's going to end. His future's going to end. Because without Mesiras Nefesh, you can't walk up the mountain. Now, what happened was in 1948, obviously people showed Mesiras Nefesh, but it's more of a defensive war. In 1948, we were being attacked right after either the UN declaration or after we declared independence. We had to defend ourselves, so we showed great valor and great courage in defending ourselves. But here it is, it's 1967, and there's a thing called no man's land between East Yerushalayim and West Yerushalayim, roughly like the valley in between, let's say, where Yemin Moshe would be, or let's say Me'a Sherim in the Old City. You know those valleys? Here's the Old City, here's Yemin Moshe and Me'a Sherim. There's a little dip down, all those dips where you drive by. And that was heavily mined, and the Jordanian forces basically had free sniper fire at anyone who walked through, and they would regularly shoot sniper fire at people in Me'a Sherim near the Mandelbaum Gate. That was the closest you can get. And here they were, and the only way to break through was basically to take your life into your hands and surrender your life and just not care about your life. Otherwise, there's just no way in those days to break through. There's no drones, no overhead. There's nothing going to break the Jordanian fortress. Now, in the end, when we got to the Old City, miraculously, the Jordanian army just fled out of nowhere. They just ran away. Once we got to the Old City, there was very little fighting in the Old City, per se, which also is very biblical. Dipol aleim imasav afachad. We just said this an hour ago. Dipol aleim imasav afachad begdozu achayit mukaven ad yavar imcha Hashem. Literally, psukim, 1967, the events were taken from Oziyashia. But that initial day, to get to the Old City, people sacrificed their lives. There were many, 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 many casualties of the paratroopers' units. And you cannot get to Yerushalayim unless Mesiras Nefesh. And that's what happened with Avraham. And to a degree, that's why I feel it's so historical. I feel as if the Mesiras Nefesh that had been building in Am Yisrael for 2,000 years, the fact that we were most in Nefesh, Al-Kiddush Hashem in Spain, and in Poland, and in England, and in Siberia, and in Arab lands, and we refuse to buckle, and we refuse to allow people to defeat our belief in our faith, this is the moment. We had bottled Mesiras Nefesh. Without it, we wouldn't have survived. Here we were at the doorsteps of Yerushalayim, about to enter, and we could just exert and implement that Mesiras Nefesh that we had, sadly, conditioned ourselves towards their history, then we could walk through the gates of history. Without that, it wouldn't have happened. And those paratroopers, many of whom were secular, and many of whom paid a very, very heavy price. There's an entire section in Har Herzl of those people who were killed. It was a Mesiras Nefesh. So those are two, we'll talk tomorrow about some of the other things, two of the events of 1967 that were very different than 1948, and that had a feel as if it's prophecy. One is, let me read some sukkim to you from the Yeshaya, being alone. Miza, this is Yeshaya Samach Gimel. Miza ba me Edom. Who is coming from Edom? Chamutz begadim, with his clothing red, because he's conquered the, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's conquered the evil people. Hadar belavusho. There's an irony, as much as it's red, it's appealing because it's the blood of evildoers. Okay? Pura darachti levadi. Now, it's not clear if Hashem is saying I did it myself or you did it yourself, but derachti levadi, I stepped on them by myself, levadi. Ume'amim ein ish iti. That sounds like it's talking about people. And from the other nations, no one's supporting me. Ve'edrachem bi'api, and I've trampled them with my anger. Ve'ermaseim mechamatzi. Ve'abit, I looked around. Ve'ein ozer, no one helped me. Ve'eshtomein, and I was quiet for a moment. I wondered. Ve'ein somech, no one was supporting me. Vatosha li zroi, and my arm and my strength helped me out. If you want, you can even look at Melachim Beis, Perek Yudalid, which is where the description of Yeravam ben Yoash, who was Yeravam ben Nevat's successor. And he was just as wicked as Yeravam ben Nevat. And yet, what happened during his period? This is Melachim Beis, Perek Yudalid. Yeravam ben Yoash is the king of the north, Amasya is the king of the south. Vayasara ben Hashem, Yeravam ben Yoash is just as terrible. What happens? Hu yishivis gevul Yisrael. We conquer new lands or we expand the territory to the Mediterranean Sea. Why? Why does Hashem save the Jewish people through Yeravam ben Yoash? So what does the pasuk say? Ki ra Hashem es ani Yisrael mare meod. The Jewish people, their plight is very bitter. Listen to these words. Ve'efes atzur. No one to stop anything. Ve'efes azuv. Ve'ein ozer li Yisrael. These psukim in Yeshaya Samach Gimel or Melachim Beis Perek Yudalit are describing 1967. Ein ozer li Yisrael. We literally stood alone facing the Holocaust, facing once again Henam levadad yishkon ad Avram Avery. And there's a certain, I say irony, but a certain historical closure of becoming Avraham Ivri again and returning to Yerushalayim the same way he ascended Har Moriah. The second part is the Mesiras Nefesh, which sometimes gets overlooked. We celebrate, we jump right into Yom Yerushalayim, and we celebrate in flags, and a lot of people died, and they died not in the normal war. You fight, we fight different sides. They had to rush through no man's land and rush through areas, basically flinging themselves at Jordanian sniper fire through mines in ways that were, they were essentially unprotected until they reached two or three, if you study the military history, until they reached two or three footholds in the old city, and then at that point, or right outside the old city, and then at that point, the Jordanians just fled and retreated to Jordan. Okay? So we'll talk about a few more things tomorrow that made 67 different. You're welcome.
Good morning, welcome.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, welcome.
Good
morning, man.
I'm questioning something here.
What did you talk about, the Sugya?
Yeah. Okay. Just say backwards what we had said.
What about Daf and Akuma?
Yeah, but he says Rashi and Tosfos. First, he says that Das Acher, that there's a Tosfos has a sheet to hear.
What?
He says Tosfos has a sheet. Is Machlokas is Rashi versus Tosfos?
And Daf and Akuma?
I don't know where the Tosfos is. But then he says that the way we said Rashi is Tosfos, and the way we interpret the Das Acher is Rashi.
Okay. I'll look at it, but don't.
Yeah,
look at what I get a chance. Okay. I wouldn't recommend you read the Sefer Kesedah. Terminology sometimes different. The Shemazek Abimari is a processed product. This is Shiram.
Right.
I mean, I'll look at it. I'll try to make sense of it. I'm not saying, but you know, don't get thrown off.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Whole world.
Brian?
Yes.
Everything?
Yo, tonight. I think I'm going to pan. Right. I'm just, you know, tell you why. I'm taking two trips in the next 8 days. As we count down Sfiras HaOmer, I'm saying, wait a second. Am I going back and forth twice before? I need to sleep. I need to, like... If you want, like, maybe half an hour here. Look. Yeah. I want to do a real barbecue with you guys when I get back. When is everyone leaving? Like Wednesday? When's the earliest people leaving?
Some of the Camp Stone people are leaving
tomorrow.
June 9th.
Okay, so I'll be back June 5th, so I'll try to make a barbecue in my house. So.
Thank you.
Good morning, good morning. I'll be in Baltimore for Shabbos.
You're going to be in Baltimore? You're flying out again?
Again and again. I'm flying out, coming back, and going away for Shavuos. Wow. But I'll be in Baltimore. Shemri and Mona.
You'll be at Shomrei?
Shomrei. Welcome.
Why do you fly around so much?
For the fun of it. I enjoy the peanuts. I speak a lot. So, especially this month, people want a lot of speakers because of Yom HaTzmut and Yom Yerushalayim and Shavuot. So. So, a lot of flights.
We were just talking that you don't hear too much in the Haredi Hasidic world about Eretz Yisrael, about, right? So our friend Shimon Apizdov, who, when I was talking about making Aliyah, and he said, you know, when you go to a court of law, he said, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So once you swear to tell the truth, what do you need to say? I'm going to swear to tell the whole truth. Because a person could tell the truth, but miss out on large pieces of things. And he says, that's the education that many of us got, is that we got the truth, but it wasn't the whole truth. And,
you know, Bill Clinton, the truth?
No, I definitely disagree.
Yeah?
Because here's the issue. Because Torah is so vast. It's a halacha so vast. It really is everything. It can occupy any space and create not just an illusion of wholeness, but real wholeness. That's the nature of Torah. So you really did get the whole truth, but there's more whole truth.
Okay. But you don't do that. You know, there's certain chalakim of the truth where it was kind of like played down.
It's such a different set of processes. You need to have a different set of lenses, a different set of processors. Sorry, it's all here, perfect.
So I'll give you space.
I actually have to go to prepare my source sheets. You want to talk to me about something?
It's not anymore.
What's that? So Yaakov had spoken to you when you were in London about being able to speak for a few minutes.
Okay, this is too many places,
Yeah, that's okay.
What's your schedule today? You're here just a few minutes.
I could be here for longer.
No, long is like 10:30. That's a lot longer. Let me do this, Bottles. Let's make a time. I'm going to have to get a shot. Now it's recorded. Does 9 feel long for me?
I could be here until 10:30 as well.
Okay, let's wait for 9, okay?
I'll go on by bus.
I'm sorry, there's no media here for you. Send me a reminder. I'm not rushing. It's 5 minutes, I think it's 5 minutes. That's more than I need to wait all night. Or if you want to come back tomorrow or anything. I'm just sorry, the memory of the very tight time.
That's
fine.
It's not like you called ahead of schedule.
We get the massage out, and then we give you a massage, and
then
about 10-15 minutes.
Yeah. Right. What's the topic in this?
Today's share is Reb Chaim.
Again,
steering
between pieces of Chaim. Again, Reb Chaim has to use
them. Okay. Is that here?
No, it's in the classroom. That's at 11:30.
Oh.